Okay, thank you so much for all coming out here early this morning to listen to our talks. I'm really grateful for this this opportunity to present this work on behalf of myself, Michael Benson, and Dr. Amy Luke. The aims of our research project were to assess the systems that are already in place in a small Zambian health district for identification of obstetrical emergencies and successful referral to higher level care. Although we carried out the fieldwork and analysis of the data for this project, I'd just like to point out that the research topic itself was identified as a need by one of the on-staff physicians who had been working at this site for over a year. I don't have any disclosures for this presentation. So as I'm sure we can all agree, maternal mortality ratios throughout the world are powerful expressions of health systems outcomes and to some extent gender discrimination throughout the world. In low and middle income countries, the top five causes of maternal mortality are, as you can see above, sepsis, eclampsia, obstructed labor, unsafe abortion, and hemorrhage. And depending on the source that you look at, it is estimated that between 75 and 90% of these are preventable. We do know that when obstetric emergencies are managed in hospitals and higher level care facilities, there are improved outcomes. And we also know that providers require protocols in order to determine the point at which a woman requires access to a higher level care facility. The need for such protocols is well documented in the public health research. However, current data suggests that these protocols are under research, underutilized, and underdocumented, resulting in a number of deliveries taking place at referral centers that's far below what is estimated. So in order to assess the effectiveness of referral systems in place, we attempted to delineate the criteria within this small system that healthcare workers were using for such referrals. A little bit of background about Zambia, although I'm sure most of you are familiar. Zambia is a sub-Saharan country, completely landlocked and bordered by eight other countries. It has a relatively high maternal mortality corresponding to 591 deaths per 100,000 live births. And this corresponds, when you take into account the number of pregnancies that people have in Zambia, to a lifetime death risk of 1 in 27 women. Approximately 50% of the deaths in Zambia are associated with sepsis or overwhelming infection. And in rural settings, only 31% of deliveries are attended by a skilled health worker. Our study site was in collaboration with Lumezi Community Mission Hospital, which is in the eastern province of Zambia and acts as a level one care facility. With just some basic operating rooms, so the more advanced would be a level three in Zambia. It is currently staffed by one volunteer physician on staff, and it's always a foreign physician who staffs the facility, although it is supported by the state. And it serves a catchment area of 1,000 kilometers or 70,000 patients and receives up to 500 ambulatory patients a day. Our study was a mixed methods study consisting of both qualitative and quantitative methods. It was carried out by visiting all of the 10 referring health posts to this one community mission hospital, using a community volunteer and translator to interview the individual who was present at that time who had the highest level of formal training in obstetrics. And we asked those individuals about their referral protocols. At the conclusion of the interview, we distributed, at the request of the physician at the community hospital, a set of standardized referral protocols that were derived from community-based practices and the current WHO guidelines to each of the health posts. Just as many of you may know from similar field work that you've done yourself, just finding those health posts was a challenge, and there were no maps to be found. So what somebody said was a road could easily be mistaken as not really being a road, but just a dried up creek bed. And so that in itself was quite an undertaking to visit each of those. And as far as we knew, since foreign physicians have staffed this hospital for several years, we were the first people who had ever visited all of those health posts. So the surveys that we administered attempted to address four things. First, what the individuals working considered to be the major causes of maternal mortality and how they were recognized. We asked what conditions mothers were referred to higher level care for. And for each of these causes that they identified, what referral protocol existed. So people were just asked to either show us where the protocols were or to just tell us what criteria they used as part of their protocols. And then we also asked individuals to tell us obstacles from their own experiences that interfered with successful referrals. Our data is as follows. We don't have a lot of fancy statistics, but this is the results of our work. So this table demonstrates the most senior healthcare worker available at the time of interview. So I'd just like to point out the bottom three rows that demonstrate that only 30% of the health posts themselves had what we would consider to be a skilled health worker available at the time of interview. Of the top five contributors to maternal mortality that I've already mentioned, this table attempts to organize those and the trends in the referring protocols that already existed. While obstructed labor and hemorrhage were commonly listed as causes of maternal mortality, the other three were rarely mentioned, although, as I already have stated, sepsis accounts for 50% of the deaths, maternal deaths in Zambia. It's also important to note that there's a relatively poor overlap between the suggested referral criteria and what criteria were being used by each of the health posts. And important for us to note that in the protocols that we originally distributed, only even two of these topics, one of which is the major cause of maternal mortality, was not covered in our original guidelines that we distributed. This table documents additional causes of maternal referrals in lesser numbers. And as you can see, there are a number of them, and there's about a 50-50 chance whether or not those were included in our original protocols as well. In our interviews, we also asked providers whether they were utilizing specific objective screening criteria in their assessment of a patient and referral to higher level care. And overall, by their reports, the majority of health posts are using these methods in identifying obstetric emergencies, with those not being utilized being the ones that are more resource dependent, either dependent on a lab such as protein or hemoglobin, or time intensive like the study of pelvimetry. Lastly, when we attempted to document the challenges in the referral process, the most commonly addressed issues were cellular network disruptions and decreased access to care, either due to distance or lack of vehicles. There is a radio system in place in this particular district for times when the cellular network was disrupted, but that was even reported as not being used. And so that even the backup method not allowing for successful referral. Some healthcare workers also asked for more feedback, and interestingly, although we said only 30% of health posts had someone with formal obstetrics training present at our time of interview, only 10%, one of these health posts, identified a lack of trained staff as a challenge. So overall, our results were as follows. While 90% of centers had a skilled health worker on staff, that individual was only present at 30% of the health posts at the time of interview, which demonstrates that even in situations with adequate staff placement, some of these systems are unable to tolerate unanticipated interruptions. Furthermore, there was poor overlap between stated referral criteria and what we proposed, And just to give an example of this, when asked how people know to refer for postpartum hemorrhage, which the definition is greater than 500 milliliters of blood loss, that's the definition of postpartum hemorrhage for vaginal delivery, our answers were really varied. Some people referred after 1 hour of bleeding. Some people referred for, what, as I stated, 500 cc's of blood loss. Some people said after 3 hours of bleeding. And some people said they would refer immediately if they had repaired all the tears and there was continued bleeding. Importantly for us, our results indicated that the originally devised protocols based on the physician's experience there did not adequately reflect the needs of that community or even the needs of statistically Zambia as a whole. And so they only covered 8 of the 15 complications for which interviewees said they referred. And therefore, our protocols were modified to reflect the needs of this community. And lastly, there are infrastructure issues such as cellular network disturbances, inconsistent radio use, and lack of access to higher level care facilities that commonly obstruct referral. There's a good amount of literature actually about protocol design in maternity referrals. And in the implementation of these protocols, there are two things that need to be established. The first is the planning of a referral system, and the second is the design of protocols to help the referral system function. Thankfully, a referral system was already in place at this site, and we didn't attempt to assess that. It's frankly very overwhelming to me in kind of a larger scale system. However, in discussing protocols, as the literature supports, we continue to endorse things that are setting-specific and reflect local conditions, the organizational capacity, and the preferences of that community. We would like to just leave with a discussion of a few main points. Maternal referral systems exist to identify the 15% of obstetrics cases that require modern obstetrical care, access to an operating room, or more invasive procedures. And we propose the use of vital signs and physical exam findings to aid in recognition of these complications. Again, 50% of maternal deaths in Zambia are attributed to sepsis, which is completely recognizable by derangements in vital signs. And while nearly 90% of individuals said that they use these vital signs, only 10% report that they refer for sepsis. And so it brings up the question of whether how these vital signs are being interpreted and if there is enough feedback regarding what the final diagnosis was that somebody may have referred for. In designing protocols, feedback is essential for the continued education of community health workers. And so it helps to reinforce their decision-making when they're questioning whether or not to make a referral. And so some literature has suggested, and we agree, that although often these protocols are designed to address the people making the referrals themselves, these protocols may also need to apply to the facility receiving the referrals to help the system work better. Lastly, prior research has said that 73% of Zambian deaths are preventable and have systems factors, and we've identified some very simple systems factors that people are experiencing as challenges to referral, such as lack of cell phone network, lack of vehicles, and things like that, which we can easily address. We just owe many people thanks in the development of this project and appreciate your time. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at the end.